Hello, this is Vlad, and you are listening to Olafield's Fantasy Podcast.
I mean, we could just bite the bullet right now and just say we're doing Wednesday Best Ball Slim, $77, 10:30 p.m. Eastern, 18 rounds.
I will Venmo you the money right now.
You want me to just do it live on the pod right here, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Little pre-pod, you're about to register for a league which does not have a live commissioner observing the draft room. Please ensure you are on time and keep players in your draft queue in case you get disconnected. The draft will never be stopped or paused. Oh, wow.
Oof. Woof.
I guess that makes sense. Well, like, was that Mowgli copying you? Sounded like...
It kind of was. I was surprised you hear that, though.
Yeah. This is like a first right here. I guess I'll just register it under my name, but this is the unofficial start to the All the Fields Fantasy Podcast, everybody.
Yeah.
This may or may not be in the pod. Probably will be, because why not? This is strange. So we are 18 years of age, but in Alabama you need to be 19.
Huh.
Usually Alabama need to be younger.
If you know what I mean.
Hey, all right. Okay. I am not an athlete. Oh wow.
This site needs to get over itself. Okay.
Yeah, it's getting really
some crazy. Obscure site like, oh dude, what if we got NFL players playing on this site? We can't be having that.
Yeah. True. It's officially hit register. There we go. My teams. Oh wow. It's already legit. Pros versus Joes. You want to do that? Industry versus FFPC players. Oh wow! Oh my god! Come strong or don't come at all.
That is what.
That's an it. All right. Oh, it's already over. Their draft. The last draft was August 4th.
I thought
4th.
I saw something about that recently.
Yeah. Look at that. It was here's a list of the people. Pat Thorman. Let's see. People recognize. Pat Thorman, Brad Evans, I believe he used to be Yahoo or something. Yeah. Like that. Evan Silva, oh, the big fish.
Ooh.
Wow, it's actually a lot of people. Oh, no, it's like an event. So there was already the list of people. So I bet it's like people who won, you know, maybe like if we were to win, maybe we get entered to like do it next year or something. Yeah, that's kind of cool though.
Yeah.
All right, we're just killing it with this pod right now. So much stuff to talk about.
We already knew off the top it was going to be girthy, but who knew we were going to be entering a best ball league on what side are we on, Will?
We're on FFPC. That's F, like, stands for Fantasy Football
Players Club?
Players Club, maybe? Players Championship.
Players Championship. Okay, there we go.
We are officially joining. It's still, I'm getting the kinks worked out here. What did we say? Next Wednesday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. I like that, too, because it's the night before. You know, we don't want any Leonard Fournette situations happening or injury situations happening in a league where we're going to be joining a best ball league. So if anyone wants to know what that is, it's pretty much a draft and forget it. I'm correct in saying that, right? We draft our team, and that is it.
Yep, and then each week... Your lineup is optimized basically.
That'll automatically choose the best points.
Yeah.
Which is nice because if you were to choose, let's say we chose, this is just random, if we chose, this is a really bad example, but Ryan Fitzpatrick and Tua to be safe, right? Because you don't want your first string quarterback to get hurt and you don't have a backup. We would obviously choose not that, but it's a good way to ensure that you make it the most amount of points. All right, here we go. Payment amount, $77. Oh, wow. Everyone's hearing. Confirm team details. Oh, wow. Now I have to confirm my location because it wants to know, make sure we're not in a legal spot. Jesus. This. Jeff, you want to start us off here? This is the All Fields Fantasy Podcast. I mean, we're back. It's been a hot minute, though. That's for sure. Am I right?
I mean, it's been... 2 weeks, I think, since our last pod.
I think a lot
has happened in the world, that is for sure. A lot has happened in the fantasy world, more importantly. And we know that's why the people come to the pod. They come for the Will and Jeff adventures in the ship, in the Chantilly cream, Rathpool Fantasy Leagues, and soon to be a Best Ball League on Fantasy Football Players Championship, a new unofficial official sponsor, joining DraftKings and the Sleeper app. Big props to the Sleeper app. I know we're getting right into here off the top, but we were able to, you know, some of these mock draft sites, they're great. You get your wizards, your calculators, you get your gist. But the Sleeper app, for free, Will and I were able to set keepers and draft together in our first and second spot. Ooh, a little tease for the ship draft rundown. Oh. But it was pretty awesome. I mean, it was a clean interface. You could see everyone's keepers. I mean, we had to do a last-minute switcheroo once the finalized keepers were in there. But we got the gist. We got some strategy. And even to the point where Will was throwing out predictions during the draft of who I was going to pick and nailed one of the picks that I think we'll get into. Maybe a controversial pick to some people. But I'm excited to be here, Will. People have been clamoring. We've been getting texts like, where's the pod? You guys should talk about this on the pod. You guys should talk about that on the pod. There's one thing that has been recurring, though. I mean, you go through the deep Twitter mentions, you hit the DMs on IG, you hit the texts, the emails. Ted Lasso. Apple TV Plus. I want to hear your thoughts, Will. Are you all caught up? I believe, what, we're five episodes in? Five episodes in. Jason Sudeikis, for those who need a quick refresher, this is a television show. I have to make that clear that it's a television show because my sister thought that what we do in the shadows might have just been talking about what you and I do in the shadows, Will. And didn't know it was a TV show. So, yes, Ted Lasso. Lasso, who knows? Depends, I guess, who's saying it. Apple TV Plus. He is a former football coach, American football coach of, I believe, Wichita State, the Shockers.
Yeah, that's exactly. Exactly.
He gets, recruited to come be a coach of Richmond FC, some fake team, but I guess is in the Premier League and has like some historic, ties. So think Aston Villa, West Ham, clubs like that. They're now middle of the table. And, you know, the situation that Ted is brought into is a hostile locker room. And the owner is recently divorced from the beloved. Her husband was a beloved owner and like this big personality, larger than life person. And Ted obviously knows nothing about football or soccer. Obviously hilarity ensues, and I want to get your reviews, Will, before I go any further. That a pretty good rundown? Anything you wanted to add?
I will add that the league has been joined. The $77 Best Ball Slim League has been joined. I made you a co-manager, so you should be getting an email.
Well, thank you, sir.
For ATF Fantasy Bozos. All right, and that is also our team name, too. So our account name is ATF Fantasy Bozos. Our team name is ATF Fantasy Bozos. So I'm sure we can figure that out and change that ever if we want to. But about Ted Lasso, so I actually rewatched the bit or the skit that the show was based on, and the same coach is still in there, the beard, Coach Beard, whatever they call him. I don't know what his real name is.
Beard.
He looks very skinny in the original skit, by the way. He is definitely, time has not been great to him. And I thought it was a Saturday Night Live skit, but I guess it was actually, it was an NBC Sports. It was like a promo for just NBC Sports Soccer or Premier League Soccer. A lot of the jokes, by the way, recycled. Which is fair. I mean, the skit was like 7 years ago. The jokes about his press conferences saying we're going to do great for all four quarters. They go, oh, it's halves, and no matter what, we're going to do our best, win or lose. Oh, you can tie. You know, same jokes, which they were great in the show and whatever. Five episodes in, I've watched it every Friday night where they release it. I did not know this is an Apple TV thing. Kind of not really happy about this, but whatever. The first three episodes were released on opening night. And since then, it's every Friday they release a new episode, a la traditional terrestrial TV, if I may. And so far, I've not been let down. Actually, the biggest thing I have is the Apple TV finding it on my phone and trying to connect it to either a... It's the worst. There's not even... I thought there was an app. It's not. You have to go through the iTunes store or the Apple store or search for it, and then you go to the movies or the TV show section. It's a pain. It actually... To be honest, it sucks. And I can't even connect it to my smart TV, which is just... I don't know what's going on. It sucks. So I'm watching it on my phone in bed on headphones. That's how I've watched every episode so far of Ted Lasso. But let's get to the nitty and gritty. I very much enjoy it. I laugh. I'm very interested in the characters. It's very tropey. It has the young, cocky star... I'm just going to say soccer player who doesn't care about anybody else. Let's just relate him to any, if you want to call it NFL players or whatever, the prima donnas. And you have the old wily vet who has been there, done that, won multiple championships, but he's on the downward spiral of his career. And they clash a bunch in this show. And I'm definitely rooting for the vet. He's definitely got a je ne sais quoi about him that I really like. And I mean, the characters are very likable. I'm rooting for the coach. I've actually liked the way they've made him super goofy, but then doing the very traditional, like, I'm going to bench you or I'm going to make you do this play that you don't like. And then you can kind of see the outcome happening anyway, but I'm still rooting for it, if that makes sense. I'm still rooting for this AFC Richmond, I believe their team is. I'm still rooting for them to succeed with the prima donna being benched, even though I kind of see it coming already. So I'm in on the show. If I were to never hear a Jeff Hutchins Apple TV review ever, and this was my first experience with Apple TV, I'd be like, huh, you know, Mythic Quest might want to dive in, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I will say I've enjoyed it. I find myself smiling a lot. Like, it's just a very feel-good show. I would maybe temper some expectations around it being like a laugh-out-loud comedy. It's definitely got a comedic kind of overtone, but it's not like they're popping jokes every 2 seconds. There are kind of those human elements to Ted and other characters that you get some, you know, emotional attachment to them. So I think they've done a really good job of weaving in other storylines to, as you pointed out in the beginning, kind of moving past the initial tropiness of it and trying to still weave in comedy, but also some, you know, interesting characters along the way outside of just the people on the team. So I thought that has been really good. Ted Lasso. We'll keep it going.
I do. I agree 100% with the smiling factor, right? That's pretty much.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'll smile, I'm watching it, and yeah, it may not be all totally laugh out loud funny, but it's a great feel-good show this day and age.
Yeah. I mean, he's getting divorced because he's too optimistic. I mean, yeah, if that tells you anything. Spoiler alert there. Another show that I've seen on the Netflix, haven't had a chance to watch it, but this review could put me over the edge
Not even on the rundown. Put it into going off the script
oblivion.
Here.
Oblivion. No, it's on the rundown. Project Power, big names.
Oh. It's a movie, not a show.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, who knows? The line between TV and movies has been so blurred. I never know nowadays. Okay, a movie. Project Power. Jamie Foxx. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Big names.
JGL.
What do you think? So the gist of it is, as far as I know, there's these pills. There's this, you know, chemical combination that they take, but they don't know what power they're getting, right? It's just kind of like... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it goes to their personality or if it's like, you know, their inner demons or it's random. And so it can range from everything to X to exploding. I don't know what the other ones, that's all I've seen really in the previews is someone exploding, or I don't know if they're indestructible or whatnot, but That's about all I know. Jamie Foxx is the good guy? Question mark? Oh, no.
Question mark, indeed. I mean, I'm not going to... I mean, it was good. The big reveal... Not the reveal. The big review that I can give is Ashley stayed awake the whole time. So oh, you know that God. If she stays awake in. The whole time... Yep, it is. It got the seal of approval. She is a big Jamie Foxx fan, so that definitely had to do with it. And the fact of the matter is that it's kind of like a superhero-ish movie. It's not, but you kind of nailed it. Actually, she got it more than I did halfway through the movie. You're right. You don't know what power you're going to get when you take these pills. However, it's the same power. Like, if you take a pill and you get extra strength, that's what you're always going to have when you take a pill. Okay. It's just because it's like in your DNA. I was under the assumption that every time you take a pill, you get a different power, which could end up making you die. Like, you don't know. But yeah. So if you take a pill the first time and you survive, then you're always going to be able to take those pills. Okay. The risk is that very first time you take the pill, you might die. And then you don't get a chance to take another pill because you're dead. So that's why I was like, why do these people keep popping the pills over and over again if they might die? And she was like, no, it's because he's always going to have the firepower. And I was like, okay. Yeah, Machine Gun Kelly, by the way, in the movie, too. He is a big Netflix guy, apparently. He's in, like, 3 Netflix movies. All right.
He's got a rock album, too. What is happening?
Well, I mean, he was in the Motley Crue movie. So just to get back to this movie, good movie. Kind of confusing at times in terms of what is – it just kind of jumps right in, which is kind of good. They don't give you any exposition. It's not like 30 minutes of explaining the movie. It's literally the movie starts and the pills start. And it's like you're just supposed to assume the world has been going on like this for a while and everyone just knows about the pills. Instead of giving you the rundown for 20, 30 minutes, like the invention of them and where they came from. Nope, it just goes straight into it, which is good. By the end of it, there are some questions left unanswered, but it's a great popcorn flick, man. Netflix can really shell out the graphics, I'll tell you that right now. So I recommend it. Definitely a good late night romp. Project Power. I also don't hear you, so that's why I'm pretty sure I was just going to keep talking.
Ashley approved Project Power. Strap in. Late night. I'm excited for it. It's, yeah, like you said, popcorn. Get that popcorn, smart pop going.
Smart pop.
Yeah, big bags from Costco. Another TV show, not movie, just to clarify that. Quietly canceled. Rest in peace. A staple of this show for every season of our podcast that we've had. This is our fourth or third?
This is our fourth. We go through this every single year. We started this we started this in 2017. It was September 2017. We're coming on the 3-year anniversary.
We are.
But I mean, I guess that means this is the fourth season, right? Cuz 2017, 2018, yeah. 2019, 2020. Yeah. So this is the fourth season.
So only 3 of the 4, well, I guess it'll be a third season and the final season, corporate.
So we lasted longer than corporate.
We are outlasting corporate, which I don't know why. Maybe they just wanted to move on to different things or it just got canceled because it wasn't getting the ratings. I mean, it's got a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb, as you've noted on the rundown. And I will say there were some snoozers this season, but there were some bangers this season as well.
It was
the last 2 episodes. Woo-wee!
The one episode we both agreed was weird was the dog one or whatever it was, the very suicidal episode, which is a very touchy subject. And also it took me forever to figure out who the voice was, and it was Better Call Saul. It was Bob Odenkirk of the me forever. I was like, who is that voice? Anyway, this show, I did my research. So like I said, was it quietly canceled? No, it wasn't. It was renewed in June 2019 for a third and final season. So they agreed that this would be the final season. They went into it knowing that they were only going to film a certain amount of episodes, which is weird. It was only 6 episodes, so I do wonder if were they filming in March and they had to just stop because of COVID. I have no intel on that, unfortunately. But to see the rating and have it be a 7.6 out of 10, multiple episodes were rated above 8. I looked on the Reddits. I was kind of just seeing what you said. Why is this happening? And Comedy Central is a big ratings network. They cancel shows after one season, two seasons. They were very lax with canceling corporate. It was averaging, I think the finale got like a 0.15, which is their highest since, I think, either the season opener. That's pretty much what they average, though. It's like 0.14, 0.15, which not great. When a show like, I don't know, The Voice gets like an 8.0. You know, okay. I used to study this. I don't really remember what it means in terms of parts per millions and, you know, and the ratings.
Parts per millions, love it, dude. You know, Will's getting hired at Nielsen here in a second. Yeah. Come back to us,
bro. I mean, you know, do a quick Google search, but it was nice of them to let them finish this out. And you kind of just mentioned they had two final episodes, F U Money and then The Wind of God. Two of their best. Their works of art. Their piece. I almost said creme chantilly.
Creme de la creme.
Their piece de la resistance. Yeah, creme de la creme chantilly cream. When I first started watching the last episode, which is Wind of God, I texted you and I was like, Jesus, like this is that's ironic. This is an amazing episode so far. Halfway through, and I just. For those, again, who still don't really know, it's just about corporate society. Jeff has a lot of input in this show. We used to ask him a lot during these slideshows, PowerPoints, all this stuff. And when they finally said in the last episode, which I've never touched on, I don't think you ever did, the president's or CEO's name is Christian Devil, more or less. It's Christian DeVille. But they all come out in the middle of the beginning of the episode, like, wait, his name is literally Christian Devil. Is he the devil? I'm like, oh my god, that's great. There's a lot of Maroon 5 references. Mean, it just went all over the place. But I'm happy. I think to wrap it all up, I think this is going to be one of those shows that in 3 years they're all going to be on Netflix or, you know, some sort of streaming service, and people are just going to be like, wow, I binged all of Corporate this weekend.
Yeah.
I think that's what's going to happen with it.
Oh, yeah. I think it has, honestly, it has Family Guy comeback potential. It's going to go away, it's going to go on streaming, it's going to go on like Hulu and all these other, you know, streaming platforms, and then people are going to be like, this is great. People need to bring this back. Gosh, it was so good. The one that hit so close to home, and it was like one of the last scenes of the entire thing, is like the two main characters help Christian DeVille
back,
and then he doesn't know their names after like being with them for like a full day and working with them. He doesn't know their names, and in front of everyone just calls them the wrong name. I, no joke, that has happened to me probably 4 or 5 times in my career already. Like, I will work with an executive for like hours and hours, and they say my name like hundreds of times in, you know, private conversation. Then it's like, oh, you're getting recognized in front of the group, and they call me like Joe, and I'm like, oh my God, okay, whatever.
The names of the main characters are Jake and Matt, and the I already knew the scene you were saying. At the very end, Christian DeVille calls Matt Jake. He switches the first person's name with the other person, and then he calls the next person like Travis, and then he says I'm not even looking this up, I know exactly what he says, I am promoting you from unpaid interns to junior executives. And they're already junior executives, they were never unpaid interns. And the whole point of this episode was to promote him anyway. The other bosses wanted to promote them, and they said no, they don't want to. They're perfectly fine where they are.
Yeah.
And the final, like, not monologue, but just like conversation, which was like, well, I mean, at least he knows one of our names and some of our other names. Like, at least he knows half of our names and part of our other name. I was like, oh my god, that's so funny. Just a tremendous end. And we didn't even touch on the FU Money episode, but this episode, just to touch on one thing, was the peripheral vision.
Yes, objects.
You know, stuff in the that came up, I'm not even kidding, in, it was either an episode of another TV show or, like, some YouTube video or whatever, and it was about peripheral stuff you see in your peripheral. Might have been, like, a stand-up comedy, like, a stand-up special I saw. Mm. And I was like, oh my god, that is so just, like, weird coincidence, but just stuff you never, oh my god, I mean, I remember at the end of that episode, they talk about just like hotel art, and they're like, "What?" And all of a sudden, 30 art paintings show up on the hotel wall because they never noticed it before. I'm gonna miss that show, Jeff. Rest in peace, corporate. I hope people get, you know, tuned into that. And like you said, I don't know if it'll have that Family Guy kind of Renaissance animation. Is a little bit different animal than, I guess, Arrested Development had it though.
Yeah,
and that's a show that went off air and came back like 6 years later. So, not that this is obviously anywhere near that, but it could, it'd be great to see, Jeff.
Yep, it's possible.
Whew! Is our pod done? No, because we haven't even gotten to sports yet. Woo-wee!
Well, a little bit. We got our best ball draft, you know, lined
true.
Up.
True. So kinda, should I be worried? Special. I haven't gotten an email yet. Have you gotten an email? Because I have not. So, just let me know if you get anything, because I have not gotten any
confirmed. You know who also isn't getting an email, though? Leonard Fournette.
Nah, that's the way you're the best in the biz.
Cut, and no one even claimed him on waivers because he has an obscenely ridiculous salary. So I don't know what that means for his future, but, you know, this is my take. I don't know. We can talk about Leonard Fournette. I hope this motivates other running backs, and i.e. Le'Veon Bell, to not mess around this year and to, like, hey, you guys really got to play and show up and be a part. Like, you can't just think you're your prima donnas and think you deserve something, because first round picks with big contracts are just walking on the street nowadays. So
I was wondering though, because I thought he didn't even get a new contract. I'm looking at it now just to make sure, because I thought he was still on his rookie deal.
The rookie deal, but he's still making still 10 on a, or something like that.
I mean, it would have been a 1 year, because it would have been, you know, the option, which they obviously didn't pick up, because he's only been in the league for 3 years. Yeah, he's still on his rookie deal. So he would have made 6.7 this year. No, that's his average. It probably would have been like 8. It would have been like 8 or something. But doesn't matter. So, yeah, he's gone. This is why you don't draft early. Not that, you know, Leonard Fournette was going to carry your team, but you definitely drafted him as, like, your RB2, or at worst, your flex, like, to just have a body.
Yeah.
Now the Jaguars running backs are, of course, all being talked up. Some random dude named, like, Ozigbo. And then there's, of course, Chris Thompson, the
Raquel Armstead staple.
Yeah, who all of a sudden now isn't really practicing. Great. But people are talking about teams he's going to go to. And now that, you know, I feel like I'm about to get Duke Johnson and Damien Williams, because this is what happened to me last year. And listen, there's no way he goes to the Panthers. But wouldn't that just be amazing? Because they don't have that bruiser back. They could take, you know, 6 carries a game away from Christian McCaffrey just to give him a little bit of rest. And next thing you know, Fournette's vulturing 8 touchdowns. And it would just be, you know, a fitting. And then everyone in our league, the ship, will be like, wow, I knew you should have took Barkley. Idiot. I'm like, oh my god. Of course, because I had the number one pick. Unreal. But I can just see that happening. People are saying the Steelers and the Patriots. I don't think he goes to the Patriots. They have too many of those running backs. And honestly, do any of us care? I mean, I thought it would be the Bears because they're losing Montgomery just for like a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Do you care? Is there a scenario where he goes to a team and you're like, oh snap, I'm interested?
Well, I mean, at this point, not really, because I feel like any situation is like what you discussed. Like, he's either spelling the main back, he's the first and second down back in a committee. I mean, that's probably the best case scenario. He's in a run heavy first and second down role where he's not getting quite the volume as he was in Jacksonville. And in Jacksonville, he also got a lot of, you know, pass catching volume as well. And that's pretty much the only reason you were drafting him, is for all the touches. I mean, maybe Washington, maybe, if we think they're going to be better and he can probably do better than Adrian Peterson. I mean, I don't know. Mm. I mean, the Eagles with the Miles Sanders little nick up, but I mean, that's going to be committee central regardless. So yeah, there's not great options. It feels like every team has like an established guy or an established committee at this point. There's not really like a team that's super running back needy.
Unless
Devonta Freeman is still on the street, right?
Yeah, unless there's an injury. Like, that's pretty much all it's going to be. It's going to take another injury, and that'll make him go somewhere. Speaking of injuries, and you just said Eagles, the Chargers and Eagles, the two pretty much every single year injury-laden teams, and the Eagles always seem to get injuries on their offensive line, and the Chargers always seem to get injuries on their best players. So this just signals every single year, you know, it's time for football when the Chargers lose their best player, and Derwin James now out for the year.
Yep.
He missed 11 games last year, and now he's going to be missing the rest of the season. And the more fantasy relevant one is Mike Williams is going to be gone for, they're not too sure. I don't think he's playing the first 2 weeks, but who knows? They showed his injury actually on Hard Knocks last night. Wow. Mm. How brave of them. But he will no longer be, you know, on that first couple weeks. And now the Chargers wide receiver chart is looking a little thin. They have Keenan Allen and then a bunch of rookies behind him. Look for a lot of Hunter Henry, maybe. Maybe his stock kind of goes up a little bit in that offense. And with the Eagles, I mean, with their offensive line just getting torn to shreds right now, they've lost two of their five starters. 45-year-old Jason Peters now is going to go back to being left tackle, I believe.
He's asking for more money.
Wentz, who, he's like, I'm 45. I've literally played a million snaps, and you're making me go back to left tackle, which is the reason why you didn't sign me in the first place, because I wanted that money. Carson Wentz, Miles Sanders, all these players depend on that offensive line. It just kind of stinks for both these teams, right? I mean, we're not big Eagles fans, but they're considerably always mentioned as a top talented team in the league. But these teams are just snake bitten. Are you worried about any Eagles players? You were never a big Miles Sanders guy. I don't think you were ever a big Carson Wentz guy. You are a big Zach Ertz guy, though.
Ooh, spicy. I mean, if anyone, it helps. I mean, Miles Sanders dealing with a hammy. Jalen Reagor, I think one of their rookies, goes down. I don't know if Alshon Jeffrey is still potentially coming back. So it's going to be DeSean Jackson doing go routes and then Zach Ertz just gobbling everything up in the middle of the field. I mean, I like Miles Sanders. I didn't like him at his first round ADP. He ended up going very early in the ship. We'll get to that. I mean, it's not great. I mean, if anything, it helps two players on my team, Eckler and Zach Ertz. So I can't hate too much on that. But it's sad to see because, you know, this year with the COVID, it was always going to be a weird year. And you hate to have stars go down this early.
Yeah, and I think it's just going to start. It's going to happen a lot. More and more closer we get to next week. I mean, 8 days. That's crazy. I was just talking to somebody about, you know, it's Thursday Night Football. It's Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, Michelle Tafoya, the whole NBC thing. And there's going to be no fans, right? Or is Kansas City one of those teams that are going to have a couple fans? I mean, it's just going to be strange seeing all that hoopla and how it's going to play out on TV. And it's so funny that I mentioned that because I was about to say more and more teams are coming out with their guidelines in the NFL about what fans they can have and all that. And of course, Florida in the forefront, Miami Dolphins say they will have 13,000 max amount of fans, which is, I believe, 25% capacity. Florida just doesn't give any F's about what they do in terms of this COVID thing. Los Angeles, no fans. And I think Las Vegas, they just came out, the Raiders. So these two brand new stadiums are going to have zero fans. I'm kind of wondering, and we've kind of seen this now in the NBA playoffs. The first round, not so much, but right now the Raptors had, quote, home court advantage, and the Raptors are now down 0-2 to the Celtics, even though they should have been at home for those first two games. NBA, maybe not so much, but NFL, I mean, this is really where you go. You go to Mile High, you go to the Saints, and you're going to be at a disadvantage. I just wonder now. That's 12 in Seattle for sure, but now you're gonna have games that have zero if you're the Chargers or and not to make those jokes, but like any of these teams, Chargers, Rams, whatever, you're playing at their stadium, they have zero fans. Then next week you're going to Miami, and they're going to have 13,000 Miami fans there, most likely. Yeah. Maybe, you know, there'll be 1,000 road fans. That's got to be some sort of disadvantage. I'm kind of worried about this, and I wonder after 2 or 3 weeks if there ends up being an actual home field advantage, if that plays into fantasy too. Mm. I mean, if your quarterback is, you know, Drew Brees, let's say no one's super special right now, but he's going to a stadium that actually has fans, does that impact you a little bit? Is that something that you're going to be looking forward to? Or, a, you know, a stat nerd, is that something people are going to have to research?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it has any real advantage. I mean, 25% capacity, even at 100% capacity, and there are really only a couple places where it provided, you know, some advantage where it's hard to call plays and do audibles and things of that nature. It will be weird, which I actually wonder if it will be less of an advantage, I guess, to have like fans in the stadium, because it'll be a little bit more normal for the other teams, for the visiting teams. Because it is going to be weird without fans. And I thought in the beginning of kind of this whole hoopla around the season, when they decided that they were going to have the season, and maybe this was only related to training facilities, and they kind of just said, you know, the stadiums or whatever, state by state, that it would have to be kind of uniform across the board in terms of procedures and what they were going to allow. So I wonder if it gets closer, if the NFL kind of puts the kibosh on, you know, the Dolphins having any fans until everyone can have fans, which would mean no one would have fans the entire season. So
I kind of agree with what you're saying. But what I was going to say was, I wonder if it's a stark contrast where if 1 week you are literally playing in front of zero, so it's dead quiet, or, you know, they'll have fake noise or whatever. But then for the next week, for you to go to a place that actually has some audio, as opposed to always being the same stagnant, you know, white noise that you're used to. Maybe it's even weirder when there's zero noise. Maybe that'll be more of a disadvantage where it's like, oh my God, it's so quiet. The defense can, you know, everyone can hear each other. So maybe it's the opposite than what I'm thinking. But I do think it's going to be interesting just to see how these teams are going to react to the lack of noise or the lack, or, you know, to being there some noise.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I thought I saw something that they were working out. The NFL was working out the artificial crowd noise, and maybe that was only for the broadcast. I was also just kind of thinking about, do other team, like, do they pool the gate revenue that they get, or does the team get to keep all the gate revenue? I would think that would have some impact. If they shared some of that, then I don't think other teams would care as much, because it's like, it helps all of us that can't have the stadium open. But if they don't, then I can see people kind of claiming unfairness.
What, so like you're saying the Dolphins get more of a revenue this year than the Chargers do?
No, like not from a revenue perspective. I guess not from like people complaining about the money, but just being like, oh, they have an advantage and like we can't have our stadium open and get that money. So, I don't know. Not from like getting players of the game, I guess, but just people being money hungry. You know how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, they better decide something soon. Although it does, you know, North Carolina finally said we're going to phase 2.5. Now they're just making up phases.
2.5. Yeah,
starting on Friday. So gyms will be able to open at, I think it's 30% capacity. Bowling alleys, 30% capacity. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We just got off the naughty list, Orange County. So we're no longer being watched. There's a watch list, and a month ago, every single county was on the watch list, and now, like, some are starting to come off, but you can go back on, so I'm sure it's only a matter of time before we're back on that watch list.
Yeah, we'll watch to see if Chad and whatever other guy's name is are making the rounds at San Clemente and Irvine, asking people to wear some masks. Jeff, we had our draft last week in the ship. For those who have followed this podcast for the last 3-4 years, this has been kind of like our big deal, our big money draft that I have yet to even make the playoffs in since we've had the pod. Jeff has since, let's see. Did you win it? Yeah, you've won it twice now.
Yeah, twice.
Yeah. Have you, you've won it since we had the pod though, correct?
Yeah, I think I won the second year of the pod. Was the second time I won, I feel like.
Because you won it in, like I mentioned, you won it when we were in Bristol and you drafted that year. I think you drafted Matt Forte in the first or second round. That's throwback right there. Just name a guy, Matt Forte. All right. So we had our keepers. You kind of mentioned a little bit. We had a bunch of keepers announced. Everyone gets one based on the round they were drafted in. And we did a little mock draft with that. Had some fun there. Any keepers? I wrote them all down here. Were there any surprises to you? Some teams had to kind of just choose a random one because they didn't have a great selection. Any of them stood out to you in terms of who they kept instead of who they, you know, didn't?
I think the only one was there was a little bit of justice in the world was Kostin kept Michael Thomas in the second, where he had McCaffrey that he kept in the first last year. And so I wasn't going to make a huge stink of it. I didn't, because it would have been the last year he would have been able to keep him. But it did seem, because of where he was in the draft, that he would have actually gotten an advantage by keeping him again, and he wouldn't have actually received any penalty by keeping him, which didn't seem right. But, you know, he did the honorable thing, and he kept Michael Thomas out of value in the second round. So I thought that one was pretty good. Nothing else really shocking. I thought the quarterbacks were interesting. The one for me was
the one that I thought was let's see. It was impeach Trump. He had DK Metcalf undrafted. Oh, no. Wait, I'm sorry. Let me go to Dingers. Dingers. He kept Cortland Sutton in the round 13 instead of Tyler Lockett in round 10. What would you rather have done?
Cortland Sutton in 13.
Oh,
I think I like Lockett more, but not that much more. I mean, you get Sutton for free or Lockett for essentially free.
I mean, round 10. I mean, come on now. You're just picking out little morsels here. Yeah, I'm picking at morsels. Where the hell am I coming with these stupid sayings? All right, so we had our draft. It went into the wee hours. And I actually went
the fold.
It went pretty quick, though. I think started at 10. I think it ended by midnight. People were flying. I had a nice six-person. I think it was six of us on Zoom at one point. Yep. Maybe more. I don't quite remember. Definitely interesting drink selections and partying. Good times on that. I think it was a good time. Again, what am I saying? But I think the best part about it, we didn't record. We just had a ball and all kind of made jokes and did our best to have a good time while being semi-serious with the draft. So I wrote down a couple choices here, Jeff. Just most interesting picks by round, ? Do you agree with any of these? And any of these, I think one of them for sure is the big one. But any of these, agree with me, disagree with me? You support, you don't support? What do you got?
Which ones do I like, or these? Which ones do you? These were all very surprising.
I just thought these were all very surprising.
Yeah, I think it's just to give people a little context, right? So 12 person half PPR of the keepers, 1, 2, 3, four, five running backs that are all round one or round two running backs off the board. Mm-hmm. So running back is definitely scarcer than normal than it already is. So we saw Miles Sanders at 6 to oppressed. I mean, Miles Sanders was going kind of at the back of most drafts that I think we were doing. So that wasn't too surprising. I mean, you saw Clyde Edwards-Helaire go 5th even before Miles Sanders. Mm-hmm. I was wondering where he was going to go. So that was interesting. Round 2, Jonathan Taylor went. This kind of just gives you, the listener an understanding. You can just pretty much remove a round or move the round up one of any ADP in this league because of the number of running backs kept. So Jonathan Taylor went in the second round to Twinkies. Who is Twinkies?
The Twins.
Ah, the Twins. Okay. And it was kind of early in the second round. Twinkies, who did they keep as well? They kept...
Okay. Oh, yeah, see, it's not even the one I put up on there, because they were a late ad. They came back, and that's why I didn't really know which team they were. They're the one, they kept Cortland Sutton. So they were the ones who kept Cortland Sutton. Okay. Sorry, they were dingers.
Dingers now, okay.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. I mean, you look at Twinkies, they have Joe Mixon and Jonathan Taylor, so they have some running backs there. Raheem Mostert, I mean, as the drafter of Tevin Coleman, I mean, Mostert's fine, I guess. We obviously saw the potential in the playoff run. In a Kyle Shanahan offense, what he can be, definitely, you know, maybe a little higher. I think his ADP was probably in the sixth round. I mean, Jordan Howard and Breida, these are normally like 8, 9 round picks. They're going in the fifth and sixth. And then the most surprising was the San Francisco defense in the seventh, but for another reason that I think we'll get to here in a little bit. That being said, there wasn't many, I mean, I agree with those, and maybe some would say, love to get your take, Will, that my Le'Veon Bell on the kind of the turn or the swing of the second round was early. People didn't like that pick, but as we'll go through some of the rosters this week or next week on the power rankings, I mean, there are teams, I think the teams break out into... There's balanced teams. There's teams who are strong at wide receiver and terrible at running back. And then teams that are, you know, have some running back options and, you know, are maybe a little lighter at wide receiver. So those kind of philosophies definitely played out in this draft. So I thought it was a classic ship where you get a couple of, whoa, what are they doing? And then a lot of like, okay, I can kind of see it.
So the reason with all these surprising picks, interesting picks, whatever, is you also have to have context and who went around them. So the Jonathan Taylor one, he went fifth overall in the second round. Yeah. So around him went, well, right after him was Kenny Galladay, Adam Thielen, Chris Carson, Allen Robinson, Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram. So in terms of running backs, he could have had Chris Carson, Le'Veon Bell, or Mark Ingram. I like all three of those more than Jonathan Taylor. I think with Jonathan Taylor, you still don't know what you're really going to get in terms of production. So that's why I was really surprised by that one. As far as I know, he's in a timeshare with two other running backs.
Yeah, and he's definitely not starting the season as the starter. They've made that known, so you hope by best week two or three he's establishing himself, but you don't know. I mean, Twinkies does have David Johnson as well, so you know they have options that they can plug in there, but Jonathan Taylor may be the upside play. And in the second round, I mean, I like to go a little safer. That's why I went Le'Veon, and I think that's why you went Mark Ingram, even with all the poo-poos around Le'Veon and, you know, the potential threat of J.K. Dobbins. I think those were safer running back. I thought Chris Carson, even with the injury, is probably safer. It's not something I would do, but I don't hate it. And I think they, you know, Twinkies did a good job with their next couple picks. David Johnson.
No, I'm going to disagree 100% because.
Okay.
Because. If you're going to take Jonathan Taylor right there, right, you're thinking you're not going to get him again. You're not going to get him on the way back, right? I mm-hmm. think that's the thinking. I don't think anyone would have picked Jonathan Taylor because I 100% wouldn't have. That's for sure. So if you would have taken Le'Veon Bell and the person took Mark Ingram before me, I would have found him much – I would have probably taken, I don't know, David Johnson ahead of him. But that's neither here nor there. The next person he took after – Jonathan Taylor was Calvin Ridley. So let's rewind. Pretend he took a wide receiver at that spot instead. He could have had Adam Thielen, Kenny Galladay, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, and instead he took Jonathan Taylor. So then the 8 wide receivers, you know, 6 or 7 wide receivers go on, and then he gets Calvin Ridley. So he could have had Kenny Galladay, Adam Thielen, and then probably gotten Jonathan Taylor on the way back. And if not, maybe he picks Todd Gurley instead.
Yeah.
You know, so like, would you rather have Todd Gurley and Adam Thielen or Jonathan Taylor and Calvin Ridley? Like, I mean.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think
it's pretty easy on that one. So.
Yeah.
And yeah, you made it clear. A bunch of running backs were kept. So as Vladivostok Villains found out, if you don't go running back to start, you're taking Mostert in the fourth round. And that is because he was on the turn, and I get it. You're not, if you need a, starting running back more or less, whether or not he's sharing or not.
Yeah.
You're not getting him on the way back. But what about you touch on this one? The Miami Dolphins duo, because COVID, Jason Bell, the commish, he had the 12th pick. He had the 12th or 11th. Hold on. Let me start this really quick. He had the 12th pick. So he decided to go, he drafted Aaron Jones. And then he went George Kittle. Kind of an interesting move there. And then in his third and fourth round pick, he went wide receiver. Took two second year players, great players, Terry McLaurin and A.J. Brown. So now he's got one running back. So the round five and six turn, he takes Jordan Howard and Matt Breida. How do you feel about that kind of strategy there?
I didn't like the back-to-back nature. I thought he could have probably waited around on Breida, maybe. that being said, running back goes. His team is definitely, we'll get into this. His team got an A- in this draft. And Philip Lindsay is currently in his flex. I don't think you're going to know, at least early in this. I think it's going to take 4 weeks for you to know how this split is going to work. And Breida is always nicked up. I had him on my Raft pool last year. He was great in one game, kind of a PPR machine. But then he gets a little nick, and then his touches go down. And then it's Jordan Howard. He's not a great player. The offense isn't that great. Who knows what Tua will be and when he gets brought in. It's going to be frustrating. I can see why you did it. And I'm not opposed at a better value to locking up that backfield. But I wasn't a fan of it, and I don't think it deserved an A-.
Well, I know you want to get into it, so just go.
All right, let's just say this, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies, this is why I think you need to have your own power rankings for your leagues. And don't trust these computer-generated jamokes in Yahoo. Because... let's just look at the top team. Not even close. A straight A. Nothing. An A. Let's look at who they drafted.
Oh, here he goes.
First round. Not even close. Tyreek Hill, 9th overall. So this guy's drafting out of the 9. That's a fine pick. No issue with that one. Next round, he comes back. He gets Travis Kelce. Okay. Good pick. No issues with that. Then he has his keeper of Derrick Henry in the 3rd round. Starting off strong. Not even close. Robert Woods in the 4th. Okay, gets a kind of a solid balance to that Tyreek Hill every week up and downness. Okay, that's fine. Russell Wilson in the 5th. Maybe a little early, but he's got a good quarterback. It's toward the back. So Mahomes and Lamar Jackson were kept. So you could think that would be the best kind of quarterback available. Then J.K. Dobbins in the 6th round, and we kind of talked about it as you, the Mark Ingram owner. J.K. Dobbins, it's kind of gone from, at least I don't know what your thoughts are in the fantasy community. It's gone from, this guy's going to be splitting touches from day one to this guy's going to have to work his way in. And, there's actually other running backs, like I think Gus Edwards is still on the team, that he'll have to prove himself a little bit more. So whatever, fine pick, upside. Maybe not the best running back too, but that's beside the point. Round 7, he drafted the San Francisco defense. All right, we're done. it's over at this point. You can't get an A. You can't get an A if you draft a defense in the 7th round. I don't care how good your pick of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and then getting, Robert Woods as your wide receiver 2 are. I don't care. You drafted a defense in the 7th round, you can't get an A. At best, you can get a B- in my book.
You didn't even go. You didn't even get to his 8th round pick.
Eighth round pick, Deebo Samuel, Who knows when he's going
to play? Not going to play.
Who knows?
The first six games.
Who knows? That context, not added. It's just, oh, here's where his ADP is, and here's where you got him. Value pick. Sony Michel. No. Who knows?
When he's going to play.
Who knows? Then we get John Brown. Great. So Josh That's Allen's number right two wide receiver. Yeah, enjoy. Emmanuel Sanders.
Is he okay. a 49ers fan, by the way? Because there's a lot of 49ers.
Emmanuel Sanders on the Chiefs. Saints now. So.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Wow. Whoops. Oh,
cut that. So not even probably the third, maybe the fourth receiving option on any given week in the Saints offense. Great. A.J. Dillon. Who knows? Again,
that is.
Earlier in the year, he's the backup to Aaron Jones. People think he could overtake Aaron Jones. But then again, it's like, okay, rookie, could be worthless. Not even close. Robbie Gould, 13th round.
I mean,
Robbie freaking Gould in A. Get out of here.
All right, I'm starting to think that not even close watched one game last year. It was the Super Bowl. Like Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Emmanuel Sanders, and he has Garoppolo.
Oh, wait. I didn't even get in. That totally went over my head. Hill and Kelce on the same team?
Yeah. And he's got, I'm telling you, he watched the
biggest negative correlation ever.
He's got Garoppolo, Gold, and the San Francisco defense.
Wait, he started Garoppolo?
No, but he's on his bench.
Oh, okay.
He has three quarterbacks.
Three quarterbacks?
I have three quarterbacks, too. You don't know about COVID.
Yeah. Cam, Garoppolo, and Russell. Okay, why Cam and... Oh, my gosh. In A, folks. In A.
And not it's only, over. Not only does
the
he
rankings
have an A,
are over.
Not only does he have an A, Yahoo projected him to finish in first, to score the most points in the league, too. So, as I wrote, it's the Derrick Henry, J.K. Dobbins, John Brown, Robert Hood's connection. That's going to score the most points in a 12-team league, which, I mean, hey, we're not experts. One of us is. Jeff, he wins this league a couple times. We're just a couple loudmouth gas bags trying to give you a little bit of help and just let you know what's going on in fantasy. But to say they're going to be in first is kind of a stretch there.
Yeah. I mean, I am a little bitter. I don't think my team deserved a C-. Was it my favorite team I've ever drafted? Are there issues with the team? Yes. Okay, I'm the first one to admit that. You know, I'm happy with a lot of my team. Did it deserve a C-? No, it's a B- team. Okay, that's fine.
You are also we just one last thing about not even close. No one knows anything yet. Yahoo projections are awful, notoriously. Yeah. But just letting you know, his J.K. Dobbins projection did go down. It's now at 8.75, but it was 12 when we updated this rundown for some reason. 12 projected points in that first week, which doesn't make any sense. Now all of a sudden I'm projected to beat Maserati, which I wasn't to start off with. So these numbers are all over the place. Somehow Debo Samuel has a projection of 0.06. So he might get a yard. He might show up for some reason and get a yard.
I don't even think he's going to dress.
No, he won't. But Yahoo gives him 0.06. All right, what do you think about Captain COVID, a.k.a. Wasted Jason? Another person getting an A, well, kind of, getting an A-. Although he's projected to finish last in Yahoo. So, I gets an A-, but yet he's projected, the official projections, he's projected to finish last.
Yeah, I think the top of the draft went, I think this was a story of the more buzz Jason got, the worse the draft went. You know, he started off, he was picking in the 12 spot, so he had the turn. So he got his Aaron Jones, he got his George Kittle. That's fine. You can't fault him for that. Came back, got Terry McLaurin, A.J. Brown. I mean, if there were two more buzzy second-year wide receivers, you couldn't find them. Then he came back.
Yeah, I like him.
Then I think this was after the shot, maybe. we got the Howard Breida combo, which wasn't great. I mean, then we got James White and Philip Lindsay.
I mean he started PPR. That's what happens when you
not
draft
a full PPR.
When you draft one running back in your first four picks, that's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, I mean he's starting Philip Lindsay in his flex right now, so I mean it's not outstanding. I mean then he got Jameson Crowder. I mean, okay. Mike Gesicki, that's fine. That's just an 11th round little Val there. Sterling Shepard, okay. And then it got better. Maybe he sobered up a little. Nyheim Hines, I guess you're probably, it's half PPR. It's hard to see him ever starting Nyheim Hines, given how many running backs he has, but Curtis Samuel, sure, that's whatever. Then Kirk Cousins to back up Lamar Jackson. A-minus? I wouldn't think so. I mean, his team isn't even projected to, he barely cracked 100 in week one, so... Yes, I think in McLaurin and A.J. Brown, those guys have upside. But I think they're also A.J. Brown and is kind of dependent on that yards after the catch. Terry McLaurin had really good – he was very volatile like Tyreek Hill. He was up and down. I mean, he's obviously very talented, but do you love that team? Who knows? Not an A-minus. It's a B. The team's a B. The draft was a B. Maybe even less. I mean, B minus for that back to back. Now that I'm looking at it, of what was it, James White and Philip Lindsay? I mean, ooh, not great.
What'd you think? Right. I mean, enough about everyone here. So I mean, you're liking Bongers a little bit. Muff again, boomer bust. His team, very boomer bust. He definitely was on one when he was debating all of his picks during the Zoom chat. It was definitely good. Yes. But let's talk about our teams. I guess you kind of touched on yours a little bit. You said not your favorite team you've ever drafted. I'm going to go opposite here. Listen, I'm sure we can in fact, maybe I'll do a little digging after this pod and I'll record our after draft hype, you know, the last three seasons and just see how we liked our teams the next day. But of course, I like my team. I was not expecting to get Odell Beckham in the third round, second or third, you know, that swing. Mm-hmm. All the mocks we did, I was always taking Juju Smith-Schuster because he was always the one that kind of came to me. So I kind of debated taking Odell, but I'm excited to have that talent on my team. And I waited for QB, me and you both. We both waited till, what, the 12th round to take a quarterback. Yeah. I took Tom Brady, I believe, in the 12th round, and I think it worked out extremely well because my running backs now, it helps that I have Nick Chubb as a keeper and also that I had the first overall pick. But that didn't stop me. I still took Mark Ingram in the fourth round. Like, I did not, you know, the third round. It did not keep me saying, oh, I have Chubb and McCaffrey. I'm just never going to take a running back again. No, I wanted to get three solid running backs. Then I took three wide receivers and a tight end, and after that, it was just kind of plugging and playing until I felt comfortable enough that I would finally take a quarterback. So I really like my team, my depth. I mean, Diggs is on my bench right now.
Yep.
That's how I think good my skill positions are. So I'm feeling very, very happy, and I can't wait to go 5-8.
Well, you're starting the season with Maz Duretti, right? So that will just
I already said it. I said it on the Zoom chat. I'm gonna lose 78-79.
No, I really like your team. I think you have McCaffrey, Chubb, Ingram. Those guys are, I don't want to jinx anything, but very reliable. From a half PPR perspective, I like it. I mean, Ingram maybe not as much on the catches, but I think you have touchdown upside every week with that offense in him. Like you said, Stephon Diggs is on your bench. You get the luxury of seeing what kind of develops a little bit in Buffalo because you have those running backs filling that wide receiver spot. I mean, there are expectations. People think they know what's going to happen, but we don't know what's going to happen. People in new spots, new coaches, you know, things have changed since last year. OBJ, like you said, the talent is there. TY, Philip Rivers can support a wide receiver one. And T.Y. Hilton is a very talented wide receiver. And you know what? If he doesn't show up, you got Stephon Diggs to plug in there. You got good backup in Marlon Mack for at least the first half of the season. He's starting. You got the upside in Antonio Gibson. And then, you know, Preston Williams, and you got the Joe Burrow lottery ticket. Who knows? Who knows what will happen there? So, like I said, like your team, it's very balanced. It has a good mesh of week-to-week upside. The one thing I wrote was, what did I write on your team? Beckham and Chubb on the same team. I had Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler last year. Now, granted, Eckler is almost like a wide receiver in the running back position, is a very kind of pass-catching kind of running back, whereas Nick Chubb is less so. So I think there's less, negative correlation there. So Chubb, I don't think, will be a downer on Beckham. You're just betting a little bit on the Browns being better than they were last year, which by all indications, yeah, that's Stefansk going, and I don't think you should have any issues with that.
As of right now, my amazing team is projected to finish in 7th at 6-7, out of the playoffs, of course.
Naturally, right there. Right there.
According to Yahoo.
Just a tease.
You are projected to finish 5th.
What do you think of
me, by the way, scoring? Hold on, I am projected to score more points than you, but somehow I'm in 7th.
Oh,
interesting. Let's take a look. Let's take a look here. So we didn't even touch on this part about your draft. Was during, the Zoom call, you joined in after your Le'Veon Bell pick, I believe. Does that sound right? Okay.
Yes.
Because throughout the draft, it was just me, Jason, and Muff, and I correctly predicted, I think middle of the first round, I said, hey, Jeff and I did some mocks, we entered all the keepers, and Jeff drafted Le'Veon Bell every single time. I was like, every time on the turn. Oh, no. I'm like, no, I'm telling you right now, if Le'Veon Bell makes it to Jeff, he's taking Le'Veon, and it won't even take him 2 seconds. And as it came down to you, I was like, here we go, let's see. And I think it took you 10 seconds to make that pick. And I was like, oh, here it is, boys. And and the second you picked them too, they just started laughing at that. And next thing you know, Chong and Sean and you all joined. And it was pretty funny. Just like,
oh, nice.
The mock draft played into our hands. Although, like I said, like it didn't quite go their way because the keeper's a little off and there were some surprises. But shout out to Sleeper again. We were able to make that happen, and I was able to share it with everybody. But let's make it to your team right now. You had Austin Eckler as your keeper in the 10th round? 9th round? 9th round? So already got your solid RB1 or RB2 kind of set up. So me and you, very similar, actually, just in terms of I was the first pick. You were the second pick. We both had a 8th or 9th round running back keeper that would traditionally be a 1st or 2nd round pick. So our strategies could have been very similar, although it went off a little bit by one or two picks. So just your thought process here. Saquon, of course, easy second pick. Although when we first were doing our mocks, we thought it was going to be I picked Saquon and you picked Zeke, right? Would that have changed anything for you? No, right? If Zeke is very similar to Barkley, you just would have just insert the name differently. Okay. So solid, right? Me and you both have our number ones running back wise and then go from there. So you went Le'Veon Bell on the way back. And then I think, you got Mike Evans. That was that someone you were specifically targeting? If you could have had any, of those wide receiver ones coming off, is that someone who you would have taken every time? Or was there someone else you were hoping falling to you?
I think it was...
So I took Odell, obviously.
Yeah, you took Odell. I would have taken OBJ ahead. Okay. I really wanted Thielen to fall.
So I know. That was,
But I know it wouldn't have gotten past you. So that's when I think if Thielen had made it where I picked Lev in the second, I would have picked Thielen and then gone back and hoped that Mark Ingram would have been there in the third. That's honestly my... I mean, I like Mike Evans. He's a talented guy. There's just question marks about the offense and Brady and utilizing him and Godwin and God, there's like every tight end is now in play on that team. It's the camp reports out of Tampa Bay are just stupid. I mean, Brady's, running at this point. It's insane. I mean, he's a good player. I think I didn't balance him out with my next wide receiver, but I'll let you get back into it. So
yes,
that was definitely a key point.
So let's move on to your next wide receiver. You went with DJ Chark. Obviously now more than ever with Fournette gone, the number one, the only maybe target in that offense. So whether or not they're good is besides the point, because we've seen many, many times where a bad team has great fantasy players. So you're hoping, and this could be with anyone,
that the chart gets 180 targets. I mean, just pepper him 10 to 12 times a game. Hope he gets, at you know, bare minimum 6 catches a game. Whether they translate to touchdowns or yards is another thing. But in a half PPR, you're going to get 4 or 5 points every week just based on catches. So definitely high upside, but very risky, I think. But, you know, looking at the other players, like, you obviously took him over Stephon Diggs, which is strange because we are, you know, Diggs boys. And we are down with Diggs. So how much were you waffling on DJ Chark versus, say, T.Y. Hilton, Stephon Diggs? I mean, there was Michael Gallup. I don't think really anybody else worth noting, at least that early.
Yeah, that was a tough one. I think I was thinking about Diggs. And I was honestly kind of hoping I could have got Chark and Diggs. I knew that was unlikely. Mm. I wanted to your point. I think Chark has a safe floor for a wide receiver too. Like, I feel like it's pretty high probability he finishes as at least the 24th wide receiver, but he has upside on a week to week basis. And if it's just going to be some Minshew magic, then I'll ride that wave a little bit. It was another kind of turning point. I wanted to just go higher upside, I felt like, in my wide receivers. And I felt like, I don't know, maybe Diggs would have been better there. I'm not second guessing. I like the Chark. I mean, he's fun. He's a fun player to have on the team. So
we go through your starters. Then you take Zach Ertz to kind of round out your starting six or, wait, well, yeah, starting seven. So... Or without a quarterback, I guess. So you're starting skill players.
Never take a tight end early.
I know. It's quite shocking. You take Zach Ertz, and now you're just kind of filling out spots. You end up taking Jarvis Landry, who I think is actually a very good value pick, especially in a half PPR. That dude gets peppered with catches and targets. He was very good last year.
134 targets last year.
Wow, actually shows me 138 last year. So maybe, wait, maybe these might be projections. Wait. Oh, these are projections for this season. Never mind. So we had 134 last year. He's projected for 138 targets this year. Okay, gotcha. Anyway, he was very, very heavily involved. Had some great games. Great deep ball catches as well. I mean, they're going to spread that ball around, and they did it last year. And like you said, I mean, they can't be worse offensively. They were so disjointed, discombobulated. And then, you kind of went with your guys, Tevin Coleman, Alex Mattison, very interesting pick there. I think you're kind of hoping, and Carlos Hyde, you got a couple backup running backs that might spell in some duty, might become valuable at some point. I like the Christian Kirk pick. Chargers defense, you know, whatever. But, okay, quarterback, here we go. You have one quarterback. You took him after I took Big Ben, I believe.
Because
I think I went Tom Brady, and then eventually I went Big Ben. Yeah.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford, your one and only quarterback. Very, very, very good when he's healthy. He was on a great season pace last year. Are you worried about, actually, notoriously, on the COVID list earlier this season? I think it was the false positive, though. Are you worried about only having one quarterback? Because I have three for various reasons. The COVID and all this stuff. Are you comfortable with rolling with Stafford all year?
I'm comfortable just in the sense that if something were to happen, I can pick up a Fitzpatrick or a Tannehill or a Rivers that are on the wire right now. I do see what you're saying, you know, the one quarterback, and maybe I'll just snap one of these guys up because, you know, it'll be interesting. But yeah, I just saw the players who were left, and, you know, I could stream if necessary. But if a couple of these guys get snapped up, and I'm
get Minshew up there.
Yeah, get Minshew. So,
you have him with that DJ Chark connection right there. Yeah. So I like your team. I think I honestly, in my opinion, I'm not sold on DJ Chark. I love him, but I think as your second wide receiver, if you had someone a little more gusto ahead of him, but I can be proven wrong, and I probably will be proven wrong. Because Fournette's going to go to the Panthers and take away all the carries from McCaffrey. And then my season will go to absolute crap. So Tark and Evans, solid, not outstanding, but again, you're projected to make the playoffs, and I'm not. So good on you. I like your team. I think Steph, I think waiting on quarterback has shown, though, that that is the ultimate way to do things. This season in fantasy, that is for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, our teams look, like you just said, not even close. They took Russell Wilson in that fifth round, and their skill positions are lacking sorely. But yeah, overall, very solid draft. Very happy with my team. I'm excited. I was not excited first for fantasy this season. We've talked about this throughout our pod.
Yep.
All the expectations for this season, very strange season. But, I mean, just like the Godfather Part 2, man. Like? If I'm looking right here, I mean, I really don't want, there's certain teams I don't want to say on the pod. I like Chongers. I mean, he took Adam Thielen, and I was very upset about that pick. I mean, it's going to be easy to like a team that has a keeper that's so solid, right? Like me and you, for one, Chongers gets the luxury of having Kamara as his late round keeper, and then he's the one who picks Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, if this was a full PPR, it'd be game over. But he's got Adam Thielen, Keenan Allen, Clyde Edwards, and Kamara. Those four people are going to have 400 catches.
Yep.
I mean, that's pretty much right there. Like, you know, whether it's 80, 90, 105, 103. I mean, it's going to be a ton of points just for catches on those four positions. I do think, he took Matt Ryan. He kind of made a joke that it was an accident. So I don't know if he was being serious or not. I think he could have held off on that if he would have took someone else in that sixth round, but I'm sure he was super comfortable with his skill position. So why wait and take someone else when you could just take a quarterback and forget that position for the rest of the draft? So I like Chongers. He's always in the hunt every single year. I think Maz's team is not great, but whatever. I'm sure I'll be proven wrong again. He's got Julio and Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, man. Ronald Jones guy.
Yeah, Ronald Jones, Hunter Henry, Cooper Kupp was his keeper. He's going with the Josh Allen hype.
He needs something to break in his way on the running back side because it's thin. But he's got a solid core of wide receivers. That's
but and his bench ain't great either. Adrian Peterson, Tariq Cohen, Boston Scott. He's got a whole bunch of names at running back. With Ronald Jones at. So that's what happens though. If you go right, the running back wasteland is desolate in fantasy this season.
Yep.
Jeff, this has been an hour and 30 minutes or so.
We told it was
And we don't have to go through the last part of the rundown because we did that to start the show. We joined a fantasy football best ball slim, no kicker, no defense, 12 team league. Can't wait to go through that. We will have that draft. Set your calendars, boys. Next week, September 9th.
So we're
going to
be doing a best ball draft, doing power rankings, and maybe a matchup of the week for the ship. Mm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or a recap. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, boy. Okay. And that's supposed to be Saturday? Is that right? Oh, my goodness.
It hasn't been set yet.
Maybe it's the default day. Yeah, okay. I was going to say. Whew, we got a lot of stuff going on. We will record. We will record next week. Hey, who even knows? I might have a kitchen by next week. Hey. Jeff, what a girthy pod. Some would say in years past I would separate this into two, but no, this is going to be one. And maybe we can get a guest. Maybe we can get someone a little commentary on our – since me and you are going to be ones doing the drafting, we can have someone giving a recap of our picks while me and you are doing the strategizing. Of our picks. Jeff, enjoy your Wednesday at the Bell. Or shall I call you Joe? And enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening to the All the Feels Fantasy Podcast with the ATF Fantasy Bozos. Look at that. Peace.
Peace out.